Hey, everybody. Welcome to the special edition of Life Talk Radio. I'm David Humphrey. Tonight, we're going to be talking about faith, family, and the blue line. We have a special guest, Mark Harold, with us. He is running for the sheriff of Watauga County, which the elections are May the 24th of 2022. Guys, we've got to get everybody out to vote. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. I appreciate you asking me to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're really busy. There's a lot going on right now. We're in the fourth quarter. You're out. I've watched a ton of stuff on social media. I know you had an event last night. One of the events you had a week or so ago really just blew me away about your faith and being family and then what you would do for that sheriff's department. And it lit a fire under me, brother, because there's not a lot of people that get out here and publicly really talk about their faith and family. And right now, with the world as crazy as it is, we need that. We need people in leadership positions that's bringing their faith first and then their family. And then they're also helping everybody that they lead get to that next level.
You're exactly right, David. Matthew 10:33 says, "Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father." So, you know, that's a big part of me. I'm very big on my Christian faith. I'm a deacon of my church, which I am blessed to be a deacon of my church. It's Bethesda Baptist here in Independence, Alabama. That's something, you know, I haven't always, you know, been the big Christian or anything like that. You know, it's always been a struggle, but you know, I try to live day to day, trying to follow Christ, and you know, and that's something big for me. And if I'm elected to the Tall County Sheriff's Department, that's something that I would hope that I could lead the men and women of a Tall County Sheriff's Department.
Yes, and we need that right now, especially unbalance in this country. We really need that. Let me ask you something, Mark. Let's talk about your early experience and why you decided to become a police officer.
Oh, man. it started back, I guess, I had a brother-in-law. I guess he was dating my sister then, and you know, I worked for Kmart in Montgomery. I worked in like the sporting goods section or something there at Kmart. And we'd have shoplifters come in there, and I'd help out with loss prevention and catching shoplifters. That excited me. My brother-in-law being in law enforcement, fixing to go to the police academy, and watching him, you know, go through the police academy and become a police officer. Just so you know, my whole family were firefighters. So
yes, sir.
I'm the black sheep of my family because everybody thought, you know, I was going to be a firefighter. My dad was a firefighter. My uncle was a firefighter. My cousins were firefighters. I still got cousins that are firefighters. So I'm the black sheep of the family. I went outside the line, and I went to the blue line and became a police officer. So, you know, that's what got me thinking about it and starting it, you know, and, you know, got it in my mind that I knew I wanted to be a servant. I knew I wanted to serve a city or, you know, in some kind of way. But it was law enforcement that I chose. Yes. And it's been a fun ride.
You know, just looking at your bio, it's amazing 22 years, what you've accomplished and the different sides of law enforcement that you're able to, you started out as patrol. What, tell everybody how you started out and where you're at right now.
Well, I mean, just like you said, 22 years of law enforcement. I work for the best police department in the state of Alabama, which is a private police department. And, I strongly believe that. And I've been very blessed with the police department. I've had good leaders all the way up from, you know, the time I came on from the corporals to the sergeants to the lieutenants to the captains to the chief. I've had good leadership. You know, you don't always agree with your leadership and stuff like that, but you respect your leadership. And, you know, and that's something that they instilled in me and still instilling me today. You know, even as a lieutenant, I mean, I'm 48 years old. And I've been in law enforcement for 22 years. I don't know everything about law enforcement, but you know, I strive every day to try to learn. And that's from the leaders I've had. I mean, I've had some really, really good leaders and I've had some bad leaders, but you know, one thing you don't do, you know, I'm an Army veteran, Army National Guard, 217 MP company here in Prattville. You know, I'm no longer with them, but I'm a veteran of that. I was in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. So even in my military time, I've had good leaders and I've had bad leaders. And you always take, you know, things from both sides, your good leaders and your bad leaders, and, or the good things they do and the bad things they do, you know. Not all the leaders I've had have been totally bad. It's just, you know, you take what you don't like that what they do, and you try to treat your guys fair. I mean, I've done a lot. I've been blessed. Patrol. I worked. You know, traffic. I was a traffic homicide investigator. I was drug enforcement for 14 years. During that time, for 4 years, I was at DEA task force as a task force officer working federal cases. Been all over the state, worked cases all over Autauga County here. I've worked cases from the Florida line all the way to Detroit, Michigan, from Atlanta, Georgia to, you know, I did work a case in South Mississippi. So I've been very blessed. I've been a canine handler while I was in drug enforcement, which is, you know, you just don't always get to do the things that I've gotten to do, and I've been very, very blessed, but I've had a focus, and my focus has not so much been that I've ever wanted to go into politics. I've ever wanted to be, you know, run for sheriff or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Politics is I've always turned away from that kind of stuff. Cause you see what side of politics is in law enforcement, but, it's a calling. And I, you know, I prayed about it. I prayed about it with my wife. I seen things going on in the county that, you know, as a law enforcement officer and being in law enforcement for as long as I have been, has really focused my attention on that. You know, I want to run a clean race and run on what I have. I have experience. I have training. And yeah. My training experience far outweighs any the other two candidates, and they can't deny that.
They can't. And you know, Mark, that goes to the experience in leading a team. When you got good leadership, and it is a team effort. Law enforcement is a team job. It's that's a calling for the individual to serve others. It's a team job. We all have to work together. And the leaders are the ones that are helping these young kids to me. A 21-year-old to a 28-year-old is a young kid to me. And I feel like we need leadership right now, not only in Alabama, but America, because our 21-year-olds to 28-year-olds coming out of a 14-week academy, yes, you are a post-certified police officer, but there's so much more to it, and things are changing daily.
You are exactly right. I mean, I have raised two young men, and they've turned out excellent. I've got one in the Coast Guard, and I've got on second shift patrol of the Prattville Police Department. Believe me, I tried everything in my fiber to get him to stay in school and, you know, not become a police officer, because the things that I see, the things I deal with. But I can't keep that away from him. You know, I'm blessed that I got two good kids, and you know they've never been in trouble. Well, I've got five kids, to be honest with
Yes.
you. I've got three girls and two boys. My two oldest are my boys, and you know, raising this new generation of law enforcement officer, not only as a leader as I am at the Prattville Police Department, I'm third shift patrol lieutenant. So, you know, dealing with these younger guys and stuff that are coming up, you want them to have the best opportunity to progress. And but you know, the challenges that you have with the younger generation is they think everything's owed to them. And I wasn't brought up that way in law enforcement or the military. So it's a fine line, but you know, being a leader is one point of it is making sure that these guys, you can tell them no, but you also got to make them feel as though they win every so often, you know. And that's a struggle every day to make these guys, keep them motivated, make them want to work, to do the right thing, treat people fair, treat them right, and you know, make sure that they come home safely to stuff every day too. And you know, that's where
Amen.
strong leadership is.
It is, and you got to make sure that everybody has their back. And when I'm bringing this up, I contacted you about doing this show, and I felt like the Central Alabama, especially Autauga County, that listens to the show needed to know who their candidates were. Let let's
Exactly.
let's let's take look, we need politics out of law enforcement.
Exactly.
Of course, it is in law enforcement. It is what it is. But people that are in law enforcement are born, they're born to serve others,
That's exactly right. I
to
mean,
give their life up. And see, when I get in trouble a lot about this. You are serving others that you're willing to give your life up for somebody else that you don't even know. It takes a special kind of person.
yeah, and
So,
that's probably, it may be the person that the day before cussed you out,
absolutely.
treated you bad, told you what they was going to do to your family and stuff like that. But
Yep.
you know, I am by far no hero, but I've worked with many guys, young guys, that are heroes. And you know, that goes for the sheriff's department too. I've worked with the guys, some of the guys at the sheriff's department. There's really good people at the sheriff's department, deputies, men and women. I've worked with them. I've went to calls with them. I've chased cars with them. I've gotten, you know, into stuff with these guys. And you know, it's just amazing to me at what some of these guys are able to do. So, you know, I'm blessed
It
every
is.
day to work with these guys.
Yes, sir. And for our listeners, Autauga County is north of Montgomery, right here in the Tri-County, Central Alabama. And, I noticed that the county has really been growing in the past 10 years. It's not a small county like a lot of people think. It's 604 square miles. It's now the census, I think personally, my opinion only, it come up to around 60,000. I think it's possibly could be maybe 72 to 75. And the reason why I say that is the push out of Montgomery going into Elmore and Autauga County and even Lowndes County, there's people moving out that way towards the country. The past couple of years getting out of Montgomery because of the lack of, I guess it's a safety net. I think that people are getting out of Montgomery because they feel like crimes get going up. You have all this chaos going on, and we're really in an unbalanced life right now for everybody. It's just the way the economy's rolling. So, with the growth there in Autauga County, and also with more people, come more opportunities. So
Yeah, guys.
if you were the sheriff, let's look at it like this. What do you think the most significant law enforcement issue is right now for Autauga?
I mean, it's always going to be the drugs. The drugs
Mm-hmm.
is the catalyst for everything. You know, theft, human trafficking, everything. It's a catalyst for everything. I mean, you'll never stop the flow of drugs in any county, but you can be aggressive in the enforcement of it and, you know, at least slow it down. That's the biggest thing. You got to be aggressive in the enforcement of it.
Well, it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem with fentanyl all over the state right now.
I know what happened to a Montgomery County deputy just here really recently.
Yes, just a couple of weeks ago. And the Narcan, having Narcan for your department, that was one of the biggest things the past, I guess, year and a half. It was like I was on a mission to try to get these smaller departments Narcan.
Mm-hmm. We are luckily here in Autauga County and at Prattville.
Yes.
We do carry fentanyl with us.
You mean the Narcan?
The Narcan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Narcan for it.
Yes, because the Narcan, we carry with us. Our chief makes sure that we have it just for an incident, just like happened in Montgomery County.
It's dangerous stuff, and you're right. It drugs are everywhere. It's a huge problem. And just the people that I talk to on a daily basis, this is something that I do daily. And then you brought up the human trafficking. I'm going to try to avoid that as much as possible, Mark, because if not, this show would run to probably tomorrow early morning.
All right, we're going to hit real close on it, okay?
It's yes. A problem. It is a problem, and I'll say this. It's a problem that when I got started in this, you talk about serving and feel like you have a calling for it. That was one of the biggest things that pushed me to get going in that direction, because I started seeing not only from a global standpoint, I started seeing it as a domestic problem in the States and then coming right into our own homes in our backyards in Alabama, the narcotics, the gangs. And it's funny, me and you are sitting here talking about this stuff, right? But if we're out in public and we're talking to other people, they completely shut down and do not want to talk about sex, guns, gangs, human trafficking narcotics, prostitution, all the evil, the pure evil that we're seeing in real time. Because as me and Sean do these shows, we talk about there's a difference. You know, you have right and wrong, good and evil. And we're in a spiritual battle on this playing field right now. And you're able to see in real time pure evil. And
that's right.
That is all pure evil.
It's not, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, it happens in Autauga County. It's not prevalent like you would in Montgomery or Birmingham or something like that, but it does happen. I got three girls, and you know, I'm here to protect them, and you know, and it stems back to the drug stuff. I mean,
yes, it does.
You can have you got to have a strong narcotics unit like the city of Prattville does. It's the one that I was involved with that we do have now. You got to be very proactive on that stuff, and it'll lead you to this other seedy side of society that people don't want to see and don't want to talk about. So, you know, and you got to be aggressive.
But Mark, you
know, one of the questions we got last night in a forum we had was about, you know, interdiction. And, you know, they pretty much, you know, wanted to talk about the introduction of drugs and the money that it brings in and stuff like that. Well, I look at it as a criminal interdiction. If you're out here stopping cars, which, you know, that's a bad topic to be talking about, because, you know, I'm not going into this sheriff's department to make this a traffic union or anything like that. But at some point, sometimes you got to be very proactive and have good criminal and interdiction people.
Correct.
And get out here and, you know, work these roads and stuff. And it's a game of numbers. How many cars you stop? You might stop 100 cars, and there might be one that has the drugs or the human trafficking or the,
right,
you know, the kid that's been kidnapped or something like that. So, you know, there's a bad side to you know, stopping so many people, and there's a good thing to it too by stopping the flow of drugs and human trafficking.
But hey, that goes back to training, though.
Absolutely.
You gotta train these officers to do this kind of work. And here's another thing. I understand with money, everybody across the country shorthanded. But I'll tell you this: in 2017, the Guardian Institute did a poll across the United States with law enforcement. At the time, 12% of law enforcement in the entire United States only had human trafficking training. Now, I've guesstimated, just by doing this so much, we're probably maybe at 23% across the United States, because Homeland Security's done so much with the their movement. We're starting to get more information out. But the sad part about all this is we didn't get this information out until it got popular through the media with Epstein and what was going on from a government global level. Then people started catching on, going, uh-oh, this is happening here.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere.
I mean, it is.
It may not be every night in your community.
No.
But, I mean, you know, it's gonna come through there. It's either traveling through there, staying at your motels, along your interstates or something like that. It's there. And I'll be honest with you. Most of my training, I did training, and I think everybody needs to have, you know, great training. And that's one of the things I want to bring to the sheriff's department is train. My chief wants us to train all the time. He requires us to get over the 12 mandatory hours each year.
Correct.
And, you know, that's a great thing. I've been through interdiction classes, but, you know, those interdiction classes were for drugs. Times have changed. You know, that's something that needs to be trained in those interdiction classes too, is that side of it. You know, it's not only human trafficking, not only the drugs. I mean, there's criminal interdiction is a big scope of stuff that you could actually be looking for on traffic stops. And it could be just a deputy that hasn't stopped a car in 2 or 3 days stopping a car and being able to tell that something is at foot, you know, as far as some criminal activities going on, whether it's drugs, human trafficking, or anything else that's going on.
And the sad part about that is, too, that for me, it's heartbreaking. You got a kid, well, when I think they're a kid, 21-year-old to 28-year-old, wants to get a career in law enforcement. They go through 14 weeks. They go through their own job training. They get out here on their own, and then they're just required to have those 12 hours. And it's usually everybody's just going to whatever class is at the end of the year. They can jump in there and get those 12 hours.
I've been there and done that.
Yes. A lot of people have. With saying that, with the training, I think every department in this country should have a training facility. And I know a lot do and a lot don't. Some people have ranges for their firearms. Some people don't. Some people have to keep using each other's stuff. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like a department should have their own specific training facilities?
I do. You know, the private police department, since I've been there, we've always had a training facility. It's a place for the officers to kind of feel like home. A place that they're comfortable shooting at, a place that they can go when the range is not busy and to be able to shoot. It's a place for them to be comfortable in a classroom to get good training, in-house training. It's a place for police officers and deputies to call home, to have a place that they can shoot, feel comfortable to train. And I can't understand why it hasn't been one in Autauga County. And you know, that I tell you, I mean, you spend so much money and stuff, you can allocate some money for a piece of dirt to build a berm and some targets and shoot, you know, and it may be a step that you have to take But you got to start those steps. You got to start those steps. And, you know, if I'm elected from day one, we're going to start those steps. I'm not saying on day one we're going to have a firing range. We're going to have a classroom. You know, everything takes time. And you got to, one, you got to find the money. You got to work with the county commission if there's money there to be given. And, you know, if what you fall short on, you got to have a good grant writer to be able to write those grants to be able to get what you need. A lot of departments, that's how they build their training facilities, is by, you know, grants, community help, big business helps around your community and stuff like that. You know, they might not be able to build the whole thing, but, you know, they might be able to give you a little bit of money to be able to help build that facility. You got to be, as a leader, with the focus of what can I do with my guys? And a big thing to start off with is a training facility, a place that those guys can call home, that that is there. Plus, you can utilize that training facility to bring in the other law enforcement agencies and host classes that actually help pay for that building or that range, the upkeep of it and stuff like that. So what I, you know, you got to be that leader to look at those ways to take the burden off the citizens of Autauga County. I'm not looking to go in there and, you know, try to spend as much money to make it look good and pretty and put the bows on it and stuff like that. But there's certain things these guys need, and that training facility is one of them.
And that's one of the beauties that's real talk. When you know, for our listeners, right there with what you just said is real talk, because that takes leadership to be able to stretch the taxpayer's budget, or I'm sorry, just what the taxpayers pay into Autauga County. It's going to take a leader to stretch that, because we went through two years of creative. On top of, Mark, 2 years of everybody wanting to defund the police. See, people are starting to forget about that, because now everybody's going, we need the police, we need the police. Well, 2 years ago, it wasn't really that important, but now it's important. So it's going to take great leadership to change that.
And I tell you what, in Autauga County, we have the best citizens.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter where you come from, what community you're in. Yes, we got our own little seedy side or something like that of people that don't like the police. But for the most part of Autauga County, those people every time rally around us. And when something like that's going on, you know, they're bringing food to us, snacks to us, gift cards to us. So, you know, there was a group of ladies not too long ago, I believe they were called the Blue Crew or something like that. And them ladies were awesome. Awesome. You know, they make us guys and girls in law enforcement proud of what we do in the community that we protect by what they do for us. And that, and, you know, it goes for churches and, you know, doctor's offices and stuff, just dropping off stuff, you know, and, it's been wonderful. I mean, and this has been since I've been at the Prattville Police Department for 22 years. I mean, the community's always been a big supporter of us. And then, you know, that makes us feel good. That makes us go out there and want to do our job and keep them safe.
Not only that, now you're talking about a pro police county and city. You're talking about men and women getting out here, wearing that uniform, serving others. People are rallying behind you. And then you also have enough resources, nonprofits. What's sad is I did some polls the past couple of weeks. The first one was, I talked to a bunch of different police officers, men and women, deputies and regular police officers, city police officers. And I asked them, do you know what resources you have for your city? Did you know, let's see, out of 12, I got 4 that knew about it, like different resources, such as your nonprofits, Child Protect, United Way, ones that work with the departments. And to me, I was really blown away with that, especially with the problems with mental health, drug addiction, homelessness,
You see,
and then
I'm
child
in a, I'm in
services.
a, yeah, I'm in a unique position, okay? Most people don't know, or some people know, but most of them don't put me and my wife together, okay? My wife, Melissa, runs the El Moratoga Community Corrections, and I know these different things. We're involved in these different things, these child protects, these different organizations. Me and my wife are involved in these. You know, that's giving back to the community and stuff like that. But that's a passion of my wife also.
Yes.
We're foster parents. We're adopted parents of, of kids. You know, kids and community and being out in the community and knowing these different organizations and working with these different organizations, I do stuff with the Field of Dreams.
And yes, you do.
You talking about heartwarming?
Yes.
And why aren't we involved in that more in law enforcement? You know, and that's one thing I'm going to bring to the sheriff's department. We're gonna make sure that we got sheriff's deputies there, you know, for every one of those kids' games. Those kids and dealing with those kids will warm your heart. It's the most, you know, heart-wrenching, best thing that you can be a part of. And they're the most loving and kind people that you would ever see. But you got to be involved in each one of these community organizations. Be a face for them, and you know, be somebody that stands up for them and helps them out, you know. And you got to have that energy as a sheriff to get out there and do that. And that's what I want to do. I mean, I want to put the right leaders in the positions, let them run their divisions, and I want to be the face of that department going out here and helping these different organizations out. And you know, it'd be great. It'd be fun. It'd be fun for me. It'd be fun for the deputies and stuff like that.
Well, that brings opportunities for these deputies now. You know, that goes back to good leadership and team building. You know, when everybody's on the same page and everything's kind of you're trying to get that wheel rolling. There's a lot of opportunities that open up, especially when you look at new avenues of different divisions and different types of training. And getting more stuff, whether it be the federal grants, working with nonprofits, the community-based stuff. But our children, everybody's children, should be our number one focus in America right now, because they are our future. And if we as adults are not out here being that face, like you said, and being out here and making sure they're protected, it's hard to get mad when it happens to your kids. And I see this a lot. I talk about this a lot. Anybody that knows me knows I say the same thing. You only get mad and upset when it happens to your kids. Yep. That you got to start listening to people, networking with people, and listening to what's going on. But we also have another side of that. And I see a lot of it more here in Montgomery. They just don't. Nobody wants to tell on nobody. Nobody wants to call the police. They have almost a stigma of like, well, I'm not going to call them because they may not do nothing. And we've got to change that mentality.
Yeah. And that's where me working where I'm working at is very unique. You know, and this, they ain't even, I mean, I'm not even trying to joke or kid or anything like that. Don't come to Otago County. We'll snitch on you up here because we don't want this in our community. We will snitch on you in a heartbeat. Yeah. Don't come across that river bridge. Don't come up that interstate. We will snitch on you if you come up here. So I'm telling you, if I'm so lucky to become the sheriff of Otago County, I'm putting them on notice. Don't come to Otago County. We will arrest you. I'll work with the DA's office for everything that we can get and give you as much time for bringing any kind of crud or drugs or whatever to this community up here. We're going to be so aggressive on this stuff that people are going to say, man, it's
what's happening?
Why? Yeah, what's happening?
What y'all are already doing that in Prattville. I mean, just look the other day of the social media and the news and the arrest of the people coming up there to Lowe's and stealing. And you know, some dude filmed it, and I'm like, they got them. Like, yeah. They're hard charged. Don't come stealing.
Don't come to Autauga County. Don't come to Autauga County with your mess.
No.
Keep your mess somewhere else. And because we love our community up here. We love our people up here. Everybody up here we love. You don't come up here and you don't mess around. You keep that stuff somewhere else.
Yes.
And it's not to say that it's not here. It's here.
It's but, everywhere. But,
you know, Prattville, caught us. They're tough characters now. We're not going to – you come up here and talk.
Well, Mark, don't we need that?
What's that?
Don't you feel like we need that right now? I mean,
absolutely.
I love how you said going to the DA.
Yeah.
You know, if you were sheriff, you would go to the DA, because I bitch about that a lot here in Montgomery, like with the bonds, the way they do things here, the repeat offenders. I noticed that in people that listen to the show, Google search this, Atlanta did a big kind of like a survey. Well, no, it really wasn't a survey. It was more of a graph. And out of all the crime in Atlanta, this is mind-blowing, Mark. All the crime in Atlanta, the violent crimes, the repetitive crimes, it was 1,000 people of Atlanta, and it was basically like 56 or almost 60% of the crime were committitted by the same 1,000 people. That's a problem in America.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. You know, I can't remember which one of the candidates were talking about it last night, but it really struck a point to me that, you know, usually in a county, it takes two times before it really catches up with you and, it, you know, before your bond gets revoked and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was talking about, you know, building a database so we could have that and check and see if they've been arrested in another jurisdiction so we could revoke their bond. Man, that was something else. You know, we mm-hmm. need that. There's just, you got to work with your DA's office. You got to have a good working relationship with them. You got to, you know, once you got to have good investigators that can build a good case file, investigate a crime thoroughly, put a good case file together and make sure that it's complete when it gets over there to the sheriff's office. I mean, gets over there to the DA's office.
Yeah, correct.
Because, let me ask you. You know, a lot of times you, incomplete case files might get somebody off, and that's not something that needs to happen.
And that happens a lot across the board in America.
I couldn't imagine me being in narcotics and the chief that I have and taking an incomplete case file over there and allowing somebody that we've been after and spent money and time and effort that's victimized some of our people mm-hmm. in Autauga County, and I give them a half case file. I wouldn't have a job probably.
Well,
to be honest with you.
And that's a problem. Not only, let's think about this. Now here's some of the ugly part. Now, time, effort, these cases that we're talking about with the gangs, narcotics, human trafficking, it takes tons of man hours. Unbelievably amounts of man hours. It takes, you have to have everything correct, just like you said. But a lot of people don't feel like they have the means for it anymore. Detectives are short across the board in Alabama, across the United States. Don't have enough officers. We have all this stuff going on, but we don't have enough people to cover it. How do you feel about working with, you know, a lot of people that you talk to and buddies and everybody in this career field, a lot of agencies kind of turn their nose up on this. How would you feel about working with different outside agencies?
you can't, you cannot not do it. You got to have a good working relationship with your surrounding agencies through the state and stuff like that. You got to have that working relationship, and your guys have got to have a personal working relationship with those guys to be able to, you know, to solve crimes. Crimes that happen in Autauga County has happened in Elmore County. It has happened in Dallas County. It has happened in Chilton County, Montgomery. I mean, it's not, these people move around, you know. Yeah. They got all the time in the world. Half of them don't even work. So they got all the time in the world to figure out the next place they're going to hit and the next, what they're going to do next. So.
And those are career criminals. Those are the criminals that are constantly going through this big circle of the justice system in Alabama. And that's what they do for a living. And what's really scary is, we talked about it a little bit earlier when you were talking about the interdiction part. And it's not just narcotics and trafficking. The biggest thing right now is the huge theft rings in these, like, huge warehouses, like DeWalt, the Walmart trucks. I'm talking about 18-wheeler loads of stolen merchandise all across the United States being pushed all over the place. Yeah. The theft rings with that are just unbelievably billions and billions of dollars of illegal money.
And, I mean, it starts from a couple dollar theft there at Walmart to, you know, multi-million dollar thing, you know, thefts from different stores and stuff like that. It happens. This ain't Mayberry.
Well,
And it's just going to get worse if we don't get a hold of the problem, you know.
Do you what's your personal opinion and your thoughts on, do we have a gang problem? And it's just not, we're not going to talk about, let's talk about the Tri-County or Central Alabama, not yes. just Autauga. Do we have a problem?
Yes, we do.
What?
I mean,
why are we not addressing it? What am I missing about that, Mark?
You know, it's hard for me to sit here and interact about that because I know what we do in the city of Prattville. I know
yes.
what we do. You know,
yes.
you know, y'all, we're only one agency. I mean,
yeah.
you're talking about everything that my agency. You know, yeah. I'm a patrol lieutenant, so I'm not involved in those cases. You know, I don't try to get myself involved. If they ask me a question about somebody I stopped or something like that, I give them the best information I can, and my guys mm-hmm. do the same thing. But I see it. I mean, it's yeah. long-term investigation stuff these guys do. And, I mean, you're talking – it's hard for me to say. Now, as far as a gang problem in Prattville, you know, one time I heard something that made me chuckle and laugh and about the gang problem in Montgomery and stuff, and I think a leader said it was a loosely organized group or something like that.
Yes, yes, they wouldn't really address it.
Okay. From what I've seen and talking to MPD officers and stuff in the past and being with the DEA task force and, you know, being out and about, I can honestly say that you could say that about Autauga County loosely affiliated, but you know, anytime you got a group of two or more individuals that, you know, want to be a gang or say that they have their little nickname or something like that, that's not a black issue. It's you
no.
know, it's white, Hispanic. I mean, there's no certain culture or race that's involved in that stuff. And you see it, you see little individuals want to be, gang members and stuff. And you know, and they might have connections to what goes on in Montgomery and stuff like that, or Birmingham or some other place around here. So loosely affiliated. I chuckled about that back years ago when Montgomery says that, because they had a big gang problem.
Yeah.
But I could actually say that Autauga County, you know, just loosely affiliated.
And, you know, I say that too, but I also say Ice Cube is not here in the Tri-County shooting a new movie. You know, we're not shooting Boys in the Hood here in the Tri-County.
No.
You know, no. I mean, come on, guys. But don't you think if the proper training for our patrol officers and if they're really involved in the communities, there's a lot of things that they could fix on their own. Or I believe that. That's my opinion. I think the more the patrol officers are in these communities that are in touch with the kids and what's going on with them, because it's like I say all the time as a joke, how can a 71-year-old man understand how 22-year-old kids are living? There's no in touch. We're not in touch with our communities. And it seems like America, we're losing some of our communities and we're losing a lot of our youth. But from a law enforcement perspective, in my opinion, the more we can get out in our communities, the more you can be seen. Just like you said, going to the ballparks, letting deputies get out and be seen could fix a lot of the problems. And I really, in my heart, believe that.
Yeah, you know, you see things, you know, I steer away from the uncut pages.
Yeah, I can't stand it anymore.
I try to steer away from that as much as I can because, you know, but, you know, you hear this stuff about, you know, police officers, deputies staying at a store too long. Well, I'm here to tell you that may be a safe place for that deputy or that police officer to be able to finish a report.
Yep.
Or, you know, are waiting for somebody to show up so he could do a report. Being seen at a store to basically prevent somebody from robbing a store or something like that. There's so much negativity that you yeah. see on these uncut pages and, you know, and in general that a few people want to just, you know, hound the police and law enforcement, but you don't know if that law enforcement officer just went to a wreck and a young kid was killed in a wreck or something like that, and he just needed a place to sit for a little while, or he just went to a domestic violence call where a woman was beat up or a child was beat up, and he just needs a place to clear his mind for a little bit. These things are real. We're human beings too, and we got to have a place. We got to have leadership in place that mm-hmm. these police officers, these deputies, and once again, Pratt does a great job of it. So yes. These deputies need a place, a leadership that they can go through their chain of command to be able to have somewhere to vent. A patrol deputy needs to have a corporal or a sergeant or a lieutenant that he can go to and vent about the sheriff and something stupid that I did.
Yep.
You know, I'm not immune to, you know, having my moments too. I'm human.
Correct. We all are. Oh, yeah. But that goes back to good leadership and building teams.
That's right.
All right. Here's something that's very important I wanted to make sure I talk to you about tonight. This is something that just come up because I got a couple of more things, but I need to jump into this right now because you opened the door for it. I talked to some officers. They have a peer support team. With everything that I was just talking about a while ago about not enough, we don't, you know, this. Don't you feel like every police department in this country should have a true peer support program?
Yes.
Especially with mental health, with everything going on.
Yeah, we do it. When I tell you that I work for the best police department in the state of Alabama, I work for the best police department in the state of Alabama. These things that you talk about, peer support, we have a group of officers that are trained in that. And, everything you talk about, this is nothing that me and you sat down and we came up with this plan or anything before. These are things that we do at the police department. I heard one thing during the time that I've been running for sheriff for Watauga County is that I'm going to make it the Prattville Police Department. Well,
everybody does that.
Not in manpower. I'm not going to ask the guys from the Prattville Police Department to come to the sheriff's department to work for me, because I'm going to be this great leader that comes to the sheriff's department, and I'm going to promise you all this candy and all this kind of stuff, and we're going to throw bouquets and flowers at people and stuff like that. But if I was, God gives me the opportunity to run and be a sheriff of Watauga County, if you're talking about Mark's going to make it the Prattville Police Department, you know, there's a lot of things that at the Prattville Police Department, you're dang right, Mark Harrell is going to implement at the sheriff's department, because we have some of the, you know, best training, best type programs. If it's something that's not overboard or outside, way outside the, you know, the realm of possibilities, a lot of leadership looks into getting it. You know, that goes to the best technology that you can find, which is, you know, I talk about this kind of stuff, and it's not like we have this unlimited budget at the, you know, Prattville Police Department. Our chief and our captains do an excellent job at fighting for us and getting what we need, and the best equipment we can within budget.
Correct. And that goes back to being able to manage, to take a leadership position, manage it, to take your taxpaying dollars and be able to use it to get all this stuff. Because here's a small joke about that. Why everybody's kind of rebel rousing and talking about, if Mark goes over here, he's going to take everybody from Prattville over there. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, me outside looking inside, no, that's not going to happen, because that would be a pay cut.
A big pay cut.
I'm just saying that the truth is the truth. But why are our deputies in Watauga County, and I'm just looking at numbers, you know, by growth, taxes, even with things going on, this economy, why are our deputies not paid? And this is a problem across the United States. Why are we not paying our law enforcement a decent wage?
Well,
money should be there.
I'm not going to act like I know the whole inner workings of the talk. Oh,
and I understand that. Yes, sir.
But, you know, I can say that with me being there at the sheriff's department, we're going to cut what waste we can. We're not going to, you know, we might have to ride a vehicle, you know, a couple more thousand miles and stuff. That's a good working vehicle to be able to get something else that we need for the sheriff's department, which might be a pay increase. You know, you got to work with your county commissioners.
Yes.
I mean, they're not there to hurt you. They're not there. They're not purposely taking away your candy bar and telling you can't have it and go to your room and stuff like that.
We're all human.
They have a limited amount of money that they got to not only give to the sheriff's department, they got to give to, you know, the other departments within the county too. So you got to think outside the box, have the energy to have that person there to write those grants that are available out there to get officers, and, you know, and where you have a shortfall out in your budget, you got to be creative. You got to figure out where you can get it from. What can I take from over here that the county commission will allow me to put it toward another deputy on the street? Or let me put it to you another way. If I get over there, I'm not going to build all these different divisions and stuff. You know, I mean, that takes time. That takes a lot of manpower and stuff like that. So I'm not going in there to implement a whole bunch of divisions and stuff that's going to cost the taxpayers and the county, and have me going to the county commission trying to build these different little little divisions and stuff. I'm not going to have a traffic division, and we're not going to get out here and we're not going to write a bunch of tickets so we can, you know, look like that other agency up in North Alabama that was writing everybody a ticket for really doing nothing to be able to bring money into the department. Now, are we going to be more aggressive in our in traffic enforcement? Maybe a patrol deputy can on a, you know, if he's not going to a call. But we're not state troopers, and we're not the city of Prattville, and we don't have a traffic unit to be able to do stuff like that. Now, there's things that we do at the city of Prattville, you know, for the officers to get overtime to go out here and work traffic and stuff like that. And that goes back to helping your guys out. And, you know, you may not be able to get them that big raise, or, you know, we want to give it at least equivalent to other agencies, sheriff's departments within our region, you know.
Correct.
And, you know, I think the sheriff's department may be getting pretty close right now, but, you know, you got to look at, can we get these guys some overtime to bring in more money to them and their families? Can, you know, can we lower the insurance rates, or what can we do? I mean, at the city of Prattville, we do, we have a place that we can go that lowers our cost of insurance, and we get a physical every year. If we get sick, we go to there, which helps out the city and keeps down cost of the insurance for these deputies. We got to do everything that we can, because I know I'm there right now. We got to do everything that we can. And I'm not talking about the police department. I'm talking about the sheriff's department. If I get over there, we got to do everything that we can to make sure that these deputies are taken care of from the time that they come there to the equipment they got on there, to the, you know, the computers they use, the cars that they use. We got to make sure that they have the best that we can give them as citizens of Autauga County.
And I feel like any great leader would do that, because I look around now at all these agencies, everybody's hiring, officers are moving from one department to the other. You know, I'm just so different from people. Like, I think a lot of departments should have reserve officers. I think that you can train good reserve officers to help out these departments. And if you have all that going on, and you have reserves, you're adding more numbers to your county or your city.
Well, it frees up your certified police officers. I'm talking Correct. About your full-time police officers to be able to get out and answer a call, or you know, it's a very, very big, you know, benefit, as long as it's done right. And you get those, you do your background check on these people to make sure that you're getting, I mean, from the, it goes for the reserves, it goes for the police officers to be able to keep a police officer there. And it's not always, it is a little bit about money, especially when you got a family. I know that.
Yes.
But you got to train and to retain these deputies. These law enforcement officers these days, you got to be able to get them the best training that you can possibly give them. You got to know your deputies, your officers who work up under you, to know if going to a DUI class is for them, going to a narcotics class is for them. You know, you just don't want to send them to a class and it doesn't help your department out. In other words, if you spend, you know, $100, $200 a night for a hotel room for them to go get some excellent training on DUI enforcement or something like that, you want to make sure that deputy or that officer comes back, knows what they're doing, and they're able to utilize that training that they got and do it for the right way. And, you know, it goes to hiring the right people, because if I'm the sheriff, once I hire you, I swear you in as one of my deputies. You're my deputy. I want to know everything about you. I want to know your family. I want to get to know your family. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have your respect. So when I, if you do something wrong that you already know you did wrong, we can handle that situation and we can drive on to the next day. It's up to you whether you want to continue to be upset. And I try to tell that to my guys and stuff too. You know, if I have to get on to you about something, you already know you messed up. Let me talk to you about it. If I have to do a little piece of paper or something like that, all right, once you walk out of here, we're done with it. It's up to you to make sure to continue this. If you want to act like I've done something wrong to you or something like that, that's up to you. I'm done with it. So,
yeah.
You know,
I wish a lot of.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wish a lot more people in leadership positions would have that same view as you with that. And with me saying this, I had another poll that I did. This was with 12 officers, deputy city officers, male and female. I asked them this one question. If a new chief or new sheriff was coming in, what's the one big thing out of them that you would like to see? Or, you know, I was giving them to tell me something out of these 12 different people. Do you know what unanimously they all said, Mark?
What?
I was blown away with it. They all wanted to know, will they have my back?
Exactly. You know what?
I was blown away with it.
That means a lot to a guy that's out here or a gal that's out here.
Yep.
That is stopping cars and getting complained on. And when it's not justified, knowing that you had their back and you're not already automatically accusing them before you know the facts yourself. You know, I heard an issue earlier this week about body cameras and stuff like that. Boy, I tell you, I don't know how to police without a body camera. Okay, I'll just be honest with you. Back when I first started, it wasn't the body cameras that we have now that are just top notch and record everything. But I mean, it's come so far, and I'll be honest with you, any interaction with a citizen would be recorded. And with the cameras that we have, they have a time lapse that it continuously records. And when you hit that button, I'm not going to get into,
but no.
It activates when I get over a speed.
Correct.
This is not to micromanage the guys at the police department. This is a big safety issue. I mean, we go through classes that are like below 100, you know, about police officers and injuries and, you know, driving and all this kind of stuff. If you're not in a pursuit and I'm going to a call or something like that, my camera already activates. If I draw a weapon or something like that, my camera activates. If my lights come on, if my siren comes on, even accidentally, it activates. The camera is not a scary tool that some people that's never really been in law enforcement and are out here doing the right thing would be even. I don't even think about my camera anymore. I know it's like automatic that, you know, I hit a button and I'm recording that scene of
yes.
what's going on, or, you know, I'm in a pursuit and I'm, you know, my lights come on or I get over the speed and my camera automatically comes on. I'm not, you know, the guys that I work for and work with at the police department, they're great guys. And, you know, they get accused of doing stuff, you know, and some of them might be a little brash, but they're not doing anything wrong. And
no.
These cameras are exonerated. I know at my department, probably 98% of the complaints, and that's probably even 2% a big number saying that it didn't. But
well, in a world that we're living in, Mark, here's outside looking in on that. I'm looking at it like this. Why in the world would you not want to have that protection from that body camera when we're living in a YouTube, Facebook Live world to where a lot of people are not pro police? They're filming you. They're trying to, edit, you know, it to make edit it, it put like it out. Yes. Why would you not want that backing for you? And, well, and you know, this goes back and forth, and you can argue, you know, you got people that want it, people that don't. But right now, I think in the world that we're living in this different kind of cultural age world where everything's in our hand, we have everything in the world right here in our hand, from music to videos to live shows to filming the police.
Yeah.
And I would want to be protected.
You cannot go anywhere without being filmed. You cannot stop at a store. You cannot ride down the road. You cannot go in the police department. You cannot go anywhere without being recorded. And if, you know, these guys, it's just like the video you was just talking about the other day. There's going to be somebody there videotaping. And the sad part about it, that police officer could be in a very bad situation, and you got people over there videotaping instead of trying to help out the police officer.
Correct.
And luckily that didn't happen the other day, but I guarantee you in our community, in Autauga County, I've seen it happen. I've seen citizens come to assist.
They will
assist us to get in, and you know, to get somebody in custody and stuff when a police officer's struggling. I mean, we're not all, you know, weightlifters, and you know,
we're human, Mark. We're just human beings. People need to understand that.
Yes, I mean, we have families just like them. My son, you know, I couldn't imagine my son not being in a patrol car with the equipment that the city of Prattville allows him to have as a father, and maybe a lot of citizens that have kids that, you know, are in law enforcement, male and female, they don't understand that the GPS is in the cars and the cameras and stuff. These are some of the best tools that you could have. I mean, it goes down to our radios that have a button that you can hit that when you need assistance. I mean, you just hit the button. And I mean, I couldn't imagine as a father, even if I wasn't in law enforcement, knowing what I know now, my son out there running around dealing with a public that we do run into, and not having the capabilities of what he's got in that patrol car. And it may be just, you know, I'm not out here every day, and I haven't been in narcotics in, you know, 5 or 6 years, I guess. But the 14 years I spent in there, I was going around different agencies and stuff and seeing what they've got, you know. I tell you what, we got it. What I'd like to implement there at the sheriff's department, what the police department's got at the city of Prattville, I couldn't imagine my son being out there without that stuff, GPS in his car. If it utilized it the right way, the GPS under my leadership would not be a tool to check up on a deputy or something like that. It would be utilized when he's in a situation that he needs help and we need to know where he's at
to get there.
Micromanaging is not nothing that I want to work under, and I don't want people over my divisions micromanaging anybody, because you're not a leader if you do that.
Yeah, you just beat me to it. It goes to leadership.
That's right.
So with that being said, May 24th is coming around the corner. Autauga County, you got to get out and vote. So with closing out the show, Mark,
I'm gonna tell
whatever you want to say. Just May the 24th, people have got to get out and vote. It's very important. If you want change, you got to get out and vote, because you can't just jump on Facebook and complain if you're not going to go vote.
No, you can't. And you can't, you know, I personally, as a law enforcement officer, I can retire here pretty soon with the city of Prattville, and I plan on retiring if I don't make the sheriff's department, you know, as a sheriff. I plan on retiring. So, you know, this, I got six reasons, and that's my family.
Yes, sir.
That I want to protect, and I want to make sure they're protected. And I see it. I live out here in the county, you know, when you got deputies riding around smoking marijuana inside of a car,
I mean, that's crazy.
I tell you, that's what triggered me to think about running for the sheriff. That's a black eye for the sheriff's department. It's a black eye for law enforcement, and that and several other issues that I've heard and seen. But that's the biggest thing. I mean, I'm out here risking my life every day. My kids out here, my son's out here risking his life, and you're going to have a deputy out here in a patrol car smoking marijuana.
No integrity.
That hurts my soul.
Yeah.
Because he put my family at risk, and everybody in Etowah County. Well, first of all, I'll tell you this: we're gonna have random drug screening.
Mm-hmm.
So buckle up your boots. It may be yeah. We might do it two or three times a week. We might do it once a month. We might do it once a year. But I'm gonna know my deputies, every one of them. I'm gonna know my chain of command, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna deal with the issues. We're not gonna hide from issues. If I got a deputy that's a problem. And we're going to address that issue then. And if that, you know, if that deputy can't get himself straight, then he's going to have to move on somewhere else. But that's the biggest reason I'm running. You know, there's a lot of reasons, but that's the one that struck me the most.
Yeah.
You know, what I want to accomplish once I get over there to the sheriff's department, you know, I want to work with the county commission, which is a given. I want to use the budgeted money for what it's intended for. You know, I don't want to take money away from one division that we implemented that money for to get equipment that they need.
Correct.
And take it away from them and allocate it to somewhere else. I want to establish a livable salary for these deputies. And, you know, and that goes to controlling that wasteful spending. And you got to have confidence in your county commission and stuff that you're doing right with that money too. I mean, they got communities and, you know, their districts and communities that they're over. They want to be able to go back and say, yeah, they're doing the right thing. And I want them to say that about me. You know, we got to retain and train these deputies. We can't send a deputy to, you know, to the law enforcement academy, and 2 years later they're leaving. We got to give them some kind of, you know, keep up their incentive, whether it's livable wage or training, giving them, you know, you can't give them everything that they want, but you can give them good equipment. You can give them stuff to make them feel safe. You can give them training that they like, you know. You might have one deputy that might be good at DUIs. Well, you want to get him the best classes he can get. Another one might be drug enforcement. One might be community relations. You want to give them the guys the opportunity to go to the classes and implement those stuff for your sheriff's department. That makes you look good as a leader. So that's one thing I want to do too. You know, we want to see is what grants we can.
Mm-hmm.
To take the burden off of the citizens of Etowah County. And with that being said, we want to upgrade the sheriff's department, get it into the 21st century of law enforcement. Okay.
Absolutely.
We want to find the best and affordable technology out there that we can get. You got a willing deal. I'm a willing dealer. You know,
yes, you got to negotiate.
You got to negotiate with these people and stuff like that about these body cameras and these operating systems for computers, cars, everything that you got is an opportunity for you to will and deal to get the best deal you can to save the citizens of Autauga County money and allocate it somewhere else if it's over, you know. We will, you know, if I get there, we would do a extensive background check of every deputy that we hire, whether it's a reserve deputy, somebody working in the jail. We're going to do an extensive background check on every one of them. Okay. And if I'm hired, they might as well go ahead and understand that if they got something shady in their, you know, their past, that they had problems in another department or something like that. Hey, it might be time for you to go when Mark gets in there, because I want the best and brightest deputies that we can have out there. I want respectful deputies.
Yes, sir.
I don't want them calling people names. I don't want them to have a nickname in a community or anything like that. I want them to be the best and brightest. I want them to treat everybody. I want them to treat everybody out here as they want to be treated, or how they're treating them. You know, obviously, if you go to a call and somebody's giving you crap, I want them to give them crap back. I'm telling you, we're gonna be tough. But if, you know, if there's no need for that, we ain't do it. That's not me. I mean, kill them with kindness, and that's what we're gonna do. You know, we ain't gonna throw bouquets of flowers at them, but you know, we're gonna handle what we gotta handle. We're gonna have the best trained deputies. We're gonna treat everybody fair. And you know, I want to look at the possibility of finishing the jail. You know, that's not overcrowding of a jail. You know, that's something that I'll have to get in there and see for myself, and see what we can do to fix that problem. Whether it's finishing the jail, the floor that needs to be finished. Maybe there's a grant out there that I could do that with. But correct. you know that's not a top priority at day one if I went in there. But you know, that's something that we're gonna look at, and you know, we're gonna look at possibility of what we can do to implement that. I don't want my jail to be under the control of nobody but me. When I come to the sheriff's department, you're getting Mark Harrell, and we're gonna deal with the deputies that we got there at the sheriff's department, because they're good deputies. That's a good team over there. They just need the right leadership to get them going forward, you know. And I know I can do that. I know that I can do that if I was a sheriff. I want to retain an attorney. You know, at the police department, we have attorneys that we can just call up and say, hey, we got this issue. How should we handle it legally? You know, whether it's a family matter or something like that. Mm-hmm. When a judge signs an order and he asks us to go out there and serve that warrant, or you know, it's child custody or something like that, we're going to do what that order says, because that's what we're supposed to do. If it's an issue that we come across that is not of a judge's order or something like that, we're going to make sure that we got somebody we can call to make sure that we're doing the right thing. We're going to do the right thing every time, and that's what we're going to strive for. That's what we're going to look to be doing. You know, we got a big resource in Autauga County because we're very, very rural. We got volunteer fire departments all through our county. We're going to train with them, the volunteer fire departments, because we hunt and fish up here. We're big on our Second Amendment up here, and I like that HB 272. So, you know, we're going to train with our volunteer fire department, because when a kid goes missing, or a hunter goes missing, or we need some kind of search and rescue for elderly, or we have a traffic accident or something like that, a house fire that we need to block a road, or whatever we need to do, we're going to train with our volunteer fire department, because they're a big, big asset to our county. And I support them, you know, 100%. And if I get in there, the sheriff's department's going to support them 100%. And it may be that I have a couple deputies from every shift or something like that that goes and trains with them, but we're going to train with them. And we're going to have command and control, whether it's from the volunteer fire department or the sheriff's department, on every scene. And we're going to be control. We're going to have it controlled, and we're going to have the best possible outcome and work as a team with those people. They're going to be team members of the sheriff's department. And I look forward to that.
That's leadership, brother. Uh-huh. That's absolutely the leadership that county needs. Yeah. And that when you implement that, you're not only helping people come together as a team, everybody kind of gets something out of it. But I wanted to, before we leave, I wanted to talk about that pistol permit. I was all for having the pistol permits where you didn't have to pay. There was a lot of people, a lot of gripes that went back and forth, of course. But the citizens never realized this, and I was so blown away by it. I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I'm still going to buy my pistol permit from my sheriff. Whether it's free or not, I'm still going to pay my money.
Well, you might have to go out of state.
Nobody
is going to have that pistol permit.
Nobody said a word about it. You have to have a pistol permit to go outside the state.
Since we're talking about that, you
still have to buy one.
I'm big on the Constitution, okay? Whether it's the First Amendment and, peaceful protest,
yep.
First Amendment, you can say whatever you want to. You can cuss me out. I don't care. Yeah. I deal with it all the time. But, we're gonna make sure that our Constitution is protected in Etowah County. We will work with federal agencies and stuff like that, but don't elect somebody and they want to do a red flag law here in Etowah County, or they want to do something like that without a full investigation of that person. We're not doing red flag laws in Etowah County unless it's thoroughly investigated and you tell me exactly that this is a danger.
Mm-hmm.
So the Second Amendment, man, I tell you, what perfect timing, what perfect God's timing for me.
Yes.
Being a law enforcement officer running for sheriff, in my 22 years, there's never been a database that I've looked at or had access to tell me who has a pistol permit. I never really asked for that question while I've been in, doing drug search warrants or anything like that, because I already knew what type of people I was dealing with.
Correct.
If you're there's been hundreds of times that I've made traffic stops and somebody says, or I see a pistol inside the car, or, and I would ask them, you got a pistol permit, because that's a law. And I had to ask them that kind of question. But if they said, yeah, I said, well, you keep your hand off your pistol and I'll keep mine off, my hand off mine. And, I ain't gonna sit here and say that I never had nobody pull a pistol on me. I've never, been in those situations and stuff like that. And Lord, I hope it doesn't happen again. But I know who I'm dealing with,
Correct.
When I was in drug enforcement doing search warrants and stuff, and you always expect them to have a gun. You always expect somebody to have a gun on a traffic stop, whether it's a little old lady or, 16-year-old male. I mean, look what happened to the sheriff over in Lowndes County.
Bless him.
You never know who you're dealing with out here. You always got to be prepared. You got to have your family prepared as a law enforcement officer, for those situations. So I'm big on that Second Amendment. I think it was a great bill, and I don't have to violate anybody's constitutional rights for the state of Alabama or Etowah County to make them purchase a permit. So that's my personal feeling.
I feel absolutely. I think it was the greatest thing they've ever done. I think it's going to work out actually in favor of the sheriffs, because there's people, law-abiding people are still going to take care of our sheriffs. We're still going to do it. We're still going to support them.
It
may be a bigger plus.
Yeah, it may be. And, just, you know, to finish this up and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be a sheriff that gets out in the community. We're going to have community-oriented events. There's sheriff's departments. Just look around in our river region area or throughout the state, and you see these sheriffs. They hold community events, and maybe that's somewhere where we can make up some of this budget for shortfalls as far as the pistol permit money or whatever, is having these community events. You know, that gets the community involved. They have fun. The community has involved. It gets the sheriff's deputies out there. It gets the two people together, the community and the sheriff, and they're able to interact with each other and seen in a different light. You know, that we're not the scary person. You know, when I was growing up, we had the utmost respect for police officers and stuff, thought they were, you know, the coolest thing. They were the superheroes of the day and stuff like that. We've seen that, and nowadays it's not like that. But you know, community events is what we need to do. I'm going to be that sheriff that gets out there in the community, these kids events, doing the kids fishing rodeos, elderly people's rodeos, doing wounded warrior hunts and stuff like that. You know, no, that those you say, Mark, that doesn't bring in money. No, but that does something for your soul.
Correct. Absolutely.
It does something for these deputies out here that are out here struggling every day, dealing with people that, you know, the type of people they deal with. And, you know, that does something for them too. It makes them feel like they have a purpose. And that's what we got to have, is a purpose in law enforcement, because that's, we're here to serve and protect, you know, and that's what we need to do. I'll tell you, to be honest with you, one thing I thought about when they did this HB 272, and I said, well, that goes about probably about $200,000 to the sheriff's department. I said, well, what about a sheriff's rodeo?
Yes.
Like, I mean,
that would be fun.
Man, I would have fun doing that. I think the kids in the community would have fun doing that, and it'd bring in money to the sheriff's department. So that's something that I want to look at. It may not be a sheriff's rodeo, but that's, you know, it may be something along that line that we can have fun. I mean, we're not the big bad wolf. So, you know, that's something that I want to do. And that's near and dear to my heart. We're not going to be invited to community events. They're going to expect us to be there. I mean, they're going to know that we're going to be there. That they each one of these community oriented events, whether it's ours or theirs, or these organizations, they're going to know the sheriff's department is showing up. Whether it's me as a sheriff, whoever I choose as my chief deputy, or, you know, one of, or some or as many as wants to, that can, deputies that are out there on the road, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's some of the things that I want to do. We want to protect our families, schools, and places of worship. You know, that's a big thing too. You see in other states, these people shooting up our churches. We want to help these churches out. And we want to have trained deputies be able to show them how to set up a security plan, you know, and help them out at their churches and stuff like that. I want my deputies involved in church.
Now, yeah.
I'm not going to force, and that's not going to be a prerequisite of the Tog County Sheriff's Department. But, you know, it sure has done my soul good as a deacon, and as a as my family, has helped my family out tremendously. So I think if they have Christian faith, or they haven't been in church in a while, we want to make sure that those, you know, deputies get in there. And that goes back to the jail and stuff too. We want to have, you know, we want to continue to have a ministry in there. These people that are incarcerated because they're drug addicts and stuff, we want to try to see what we can do, like some of these other sheriff's departments, implement something to get these people help, maybe defer some of their sentencing or something like that, but getting them help. You know, my wife, Melissa, you know, she's involved in treatment programs and stuff like that. And, you know, that maybe that's something that we can look into to get these people help. It's not always about going to jail. That's usually when somebody's at their bottom, but we got to make sure that they're at that bottom when we do something like that. So
you're right. You know, give them those resources, those opportunities. And with trained deputies, it all works out in the end, and it helps the community, it helps the citizens, and it's basically a family team involvement. And I think that Autauga County needs that. They need these ideas. They need more structure as far as the community. And yep. And you'll see a huge turnaround with what happens here in the next, you know, the next 2-3 years.
Yeah. I mean, if I get on the sheriff's department, it's not going to be the status quo. It's not going to be, well, that's what we've always done it. No, it ain't going to be the way we always done it. We're going to do it the best way, you know, that we can, the right way. And not just cause it's been done for the last 40 or 50 years. You know, I'm not saying the sheriff's department's bad. I have no grudge against Joe Sudinger. I mean, I like Joe Sudinger as a person. He might not like me that much anymore, but I like Joe Sudinger. I've always gotten along with him. He swore me in when I was in narcotics, working drug cases all throughout Autauga County because we worked together with their narcotics guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold no grudges against him. I just know that I could do a better job, and that's what I want to do. I want to do a better job. I want to protect my family, your family, and everybody's family that comes, you know, that lives in Autauga County or comes to Autauga County. And I want to be seen. I want to be out there in the community, shaking hands, getting back to the old ways of sheriff going and sitting on somebody's front porch and finding out how we can solve a problem in that community. I mean, yeah. That's where your problems are solved right there. People might not think about it, but we got to get back to our old ways of problem solving as, you know, other, you know, previous sheriffs of the Tall County, they would come up there and sit on your front porch, find out what went wrong. And we tried to solve that problem then. If we couldn't, you know, we get the guidance of those. I mean, there's community leaders, and I'm not talking about commissioners and stuff like that. There's community leaders in every community, whether it's the pastor of that community or somebody that's been in that community for a long time. That's the people you go talk to find out what's going on in their communities and who the problem is, who's a problem child, and who do we need to go talk to. It may be something simple as me as a sheriff going to talk to that individual, or it may be that I turn it over to my narcotics unit and let them handle it, or whatever we need to do to solve the problem. Not everybody deserves to go to jail. But we will be very proactive in our enforcement. As your sheriff, I'll be very vocal on not only what goes on with the sheriff's department, but the individuals that are committing a crime in the county. So, mm-hmm. You know, we gotta get back to, I ain't gonna say old school police, no, because we ain't going out here and busting nobody's
ass. No.
But, you know, you can do it respectfully, and people have the respect for you as a sheriff and knows you as a sheriff and stuff. And that's what I want to be. I want to be that sheriff. And I ask for your vote May 24, 2022 for Autauga County Sheriff. Get out and vote. I mean, get registered to vote. Young people get out there and vote. I mean, I ain't no young guy, but you know, I'm the youngest one running right now, and I got the most experience. And So I ask for those young people to get out there and take charge in their community, be leaders in your community. You know, whether it's me or whoever, get out and vote. That's what I fought for. And men and women and, you know, in the military, going all the way back to forever, have fought for is your right to, you know, to vote. And if you're not out there voting and you're not voting for the person that, you know, you think is the best fit for that office, that goes for the older people too. I mean, yes. They get so set in their ways and stuff that they don't even try to look at, you know, who else is running and stuff like that. Dig deep into each one of the candidates, talk to I tell you this, talk to other law enforcement officers. I'm not going to tell you to talk to Todd County deputies and stuff like that, because they got a sheriff right now, and I'm not going to disrespect the sheriff and ask people to go talk to their, you know, talk about their sheriff or anything like that. So talk to people in law enforcement, people that I've worked with, people that supervise me. Talk to the people on my shift. If you know any of the people on third shift patrol, talk to them. They'll tell you I'm tough. I'm fair.
We call that fair but firm.
Yeah, I'm
fair but firm.
I'm fair and firm, and I try to work within the parameters of the guidelines that the city allows me to do. And I think I work it pretty well. And I think I got some good ideas. Like I said before, I don't have a team of people that's on standby to come in there, and I'm going to run off a bunch of people from the sheriff's department so those people can be on with me. I'm going to work with the men and women that have been out there working through this, working through the COVID and stuff, that didn't get mad and quit. I'm going to work with those people. They're good men and women over there. I'm going to train them. I want to be the leader that they know that they can come to and talk to about their personal stuff, and not so much about what goes on at the sheriff's department. That's where you have a chain of command about. But I look forward to it. I'd be humbled for your vote May 24th, but it's going to take y'all getting out there and voting and stuff. We can do this. I mean, I'm not the scary person. You know, I haven't been just wide open out there and throwing out cartoons and doing all this other crazy stuff and trying to make Joe look bad and stuff like that. But, you know, I have a mission. I have a servant's heart.
Yep.
And I asked for that vote. I would be humbled to have your vote. And that's where I'm at right now. You know, we're down here in the fourth quarter, just like you said at the beginning.
Yes.
And I'm ready to do this thing. I'm excited. I'm excited for for my vision to be implemented. And it's not a scary vision. It's not a take everybody to jail and, you know, kind of vision. It's working with the community and being out in the community and having fun with the community. And that's what I'm here for. I would be blessed. And, so, you know, just remember, people, this ain't Mayberry, and it's only going to get worse. And we can't continue on the same path that we are without the training experience that we need for this sheriff's department. And, you know, I'm not looking to be your sheriff for 100 years. I'm looking at doing it for, you know, a time, and then – but I want to be building leaders up under me.
Correct.
During the time I'm in at the sheriff's department, I'm not going to be scared that somebody's going to run against me. Good Lord. I mean, I thank goodness that I've made it, and the Lord has blessed me and kept me safe for 22 years in law enforcement, because there's so many younger deputies and sheriffs and police officers that are killed in a line of duty. And I've been very fortunate to make it 22 years. I'd love to make it, you know, several more years as your sheriff. And I want to protect these guys and give them the best opportunity at the sheriff's department. I want to protect the people and the citizens of Autauga County. So please give me that opportunity. May 24th, 2022, Mark Harrell for Autauga County Sheriff.
Mark, thank you so much for this. I appreciate it. Good luck with it. The young people get out and vote. But thank you so much for your time.
And God bless y'all. You know, there's, one last thing I want to say is Isaiah 6:8. Here I am, send me. And I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
Here I am, send me. I mean, that's near and dear to my heart, especially as a police officer. And, you know, I serve the city of Prattville, the great citizens of, that live within the city and Autauga County. You know, they're a big voting group, so we got to get out there. Everybody talk. Everybody, you know, I got a Facebook page, Mark Harrell for Sheriff. Look it up. I got a website, Mark Harrell, for Autauga County Sheriff, .com. So look it up. All this stuff hasn't been hidden since the beginning, and I announced over a year ago. So it's been almost 2 years that I actually put my name out there that I was going to be running for sheriff, because I was so upset that we had a deputy out here running around smoking dope. But, you know, here I am, send me, and, you know, vote for me May 24th, Mark Harrell for Autauga County Sheriff. And I appreciate you, David.
You're doing wonderful.
You're doing a great job, man. And, you know, the good Lord's going to bless you for this, you know, because there's people out there that needs help, and it takes people like you and other people in the community to step up and say that we've had enough and actually do something about it. I mean, you could be ridiculed all you want, but when you have a servant's heart, you don't even listen to that stuff. And that's the way I am. So I appreciate you. Bless you.
Thanks.
Bless your audience out there listening. I pray for y'all, and, you know, thank a police officer, thank a sheriff deputy, whether it's in Autauga County or your community and stuff. We need it. We, you know, some days we had those bad days too. So I thank you. I really do.
Mark, thank you so much, brother.
County Sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.